time. Well, tonight, in following the tradition of what usually we do here, Brother Bruce has been addressing the subject already, and you can remember when I used to pastor this month, usually about every Sunday, even Wednesdays, yes, we wind up going back to the glorious theme of Christmas. So we're going to do that again this evening. Not that I can say anything that you don't already know and bring out truths that you're not already aware of, but hopefully this evening the Spirit of God will still make what we share with you fresh and new within your heart. Turn tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. What I'm going to do tonight is to borrow from the words of a old secular song that is sung quite often, and I kind of like the song myself. In fact, you know, Christmas music, we can, you know, a lot of it we can take it or leave it, but, you know, a lot of this Christmas music, it just brings back old memories, and so we don't discard everything. You know, being a Christian doesn't isolate us and put us in the category to where we can no longer enjoy simply living and the pleasures and the joys of life. And if I'd take a poll tonight and ask all of you about your Christmases past, every single one of you would have stories to tell, and we've all got a child's heart, and there's a lot about the tradition that we enjoy. But now, let me read this great passage of Scripture right now, if I could, please. 1 Timothy 3, verse number 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, referencing, of course, the incarnation of Christ, justified in the Spirit. You could say he was vindicated. His claims of deity, who he was vindicated by the Spirit of God. Notice this scene of angels. Now, when the angels hovered over the cradle when Christ was born, the angels were looking the first time into the face of God as far as actually being able to see God in flesh, because we know that God is eternal. So try to imagine now how the angels, we couldn't begin to understand how angels would think, but they were seeing for the first time deity in human flesh. Hard for us to imagine that, isn't it? Then it says, preached unto the Gentile or the nations. The gospel message goes out to the nations, believed on in the world, and you that are here tonight are examples of that. God's people, the saved, received up into glory. That's referencing his ascension. So this verse right here covers the whole gamut. This verse, preachers could preach the rest of their lifetime on this verse and never, never totally exhaust its truths. It's that tremendous. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, tonight for the blessing that we have to be here this evening. We do pray for the pastor as he is down in the fellowship hall, and Lord, as the young people are preparing for Sunday, we just pray now tonight that you would help us all to leave here, leave this service this evening more thrilled than ever when we ponder the mystery of godliness, the great truth concerning the incarnation of Christ. Bless us now this evening together and meet needs, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The song that I referenced a little bit earlier is a song. It's the most wonderful time of the year. You know, you heard that song, been around a long time. And I like to borrow those lyrics this evening, a most wonderful time of the year. But of course, being a gospel preacher, you know where I'm going with that. We're going to seek to justify the truth of that song in the deeper way, the biblical way, the way that you and I can appreciate tonight as God's people. Now, the song itself, the secular song, what it does, it highlights the wonder of Christmas. And the song, the content of it, it deals with the traditional things of Christmases long ago. It takes you down memory road. It makes you reflect upon the past. It references the traditions, the fond memories, and, you know, some of the words within the songs. It talks about the holiday greetings, the parties, and the caroling, and all of those things that, you know, kind of bring back memory. But it's a far greater, wonderful time of the year for a greater reason. God was manifest in the flesh. That's why it's greater, you see. Now, preachers, this time of the year, and Pastor Bruce has already done it, and I do it myself, we love to hone in on the Luke chapter 2, which we could say is the Christmas text in many ways. Now, obviously, the whole Bible, we can go just about any direction in the Bible and find a reference somehow, some way, to the birth of Christ, and so forth. But the Luke chapter 2 is kind of a classic Christmas text in the sense that it's probably preached more from and its contents used more in church programs, children's plays, cantatas, and so forth than any other text. Now, this particular passage of Scripture, this Luke chapter 2, is, again, it is a foundation passage of Scripture for so many sermons and messages and songs. We think of the most wonderful time of the year, and I'm going to kind of build everything around that thought tonight. We could say it's the most wonderful message that was ever given, and I'm thinking of the angels out in the, or the angels that serenaded Christ being born. I'm thinking of the shepherds, and the angels told the shepherds, "You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes," which you find in Luke chapter 2, verse number 12. You shall find. We could get caught up just with that one thought tonight. We could call it the most wonderful find. The most wonderful find. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, all of us this evening, maybe not as much as we used to, but there's a great anticipation of the Christmas find. It's based on the part of children. Children anticipate the Christmas find, what they're going to find. But we know the Lord. We understand the brevity of this life. We understand the true values in this life. And we know tonight that the material Christmas finds are not enduring finds. We know that they will only, if they make it, will only survive for time. Material things will rot, they'll rust, they'll decay, and so forth. But now, I'll deviate a little bit. I'll reflect back when I was a child, my Christmases in the mountain state of West Virginia. My Christmas finds were usually broken before morning, if I could be quite honest with you. We celebrated Christmas as far as the opening of our gifts on Christmas Eve. And Well, you know my background. I come from a large family. And we kids within the family, we would stay up the rest of the night doing the best that we could to break our toys. Most of them got broken. My brother, who I reference as I think about him in the days of the opening Christmas gifts, I'll call him my brother the surgeon. My family, we called him the surgeon because he destroyed My brother destroyed my sister's finds. Now let me explain that. Five sisters, they would receive their baby dolls. My brother would set out before the morning, and most of those baby dolls, he would destroy them because he'd take the criers out of them. He literally did that. We thought that that man for sure was heading for med school to become a famed surgeon. He missed a great chance, but he became a preacher instead. Of course, I'm glad for that. Now, the babies that he extracted the criers from, they couldn't cry, but my sister sure did cry, you know, when he destroyed their dolls. But now let me get serious. Try to imagine the emotions of the shepherds that night. Try to imagine those shepherds minding their own business out in the Galilean fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And all of a sudden, their nighttime, in a sense, turned to day. The event that would take place. They had a shock and awe experience. The Galilean fields were suddenly lit up by the spotlight of God's glory shining down. The darkness and the quietness of the night was interrupted by the splendor from above. It's hard to begin to imagine how these shepherds must have felt. Heaven couldn't hold its peace. God's holy angels conducted a praise service from the balcony of the sky. A most wonderful thing had happened in the little town of Bethlehem, which was too great to not tell. It had to be told. The news had to be shared. The angels couldn't keep quiet. And so the shepherds were dispatched. I preached a sermon one time entitled, "What Happened to the Sheep?" They're watching their flock. The Bible's silent, says nothing but what happened to their sheep. Well, we're satisfied tonight they were taken care of. They either approached a kind fellow shepherd maybe to watch over them, or God just simply put the sheep in a rest mode for the rest of the night, or whatever the case might have been. So what happened? They went, they found, they left, and they told. That's kind of what we do. We went by God's grace. We found Christ by the grace of God. And we've been telling it ever since. We've been spreading the message ever since. This is a wonderful time of the year. A most wonderful time of the year, because the one whose name is wonderful was born. His name shall be called Wonderful. Isaiah 9:6. I say it's the most wonderful time of the year because Wonderful was born. You know, it's thrilling to teach, to preach, and to share those wonderful passages that deal with the birth of Christ. I've preached hundreds of times on some of those great verses. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The wonderful little town of Bethlehem became a host town for this greatest of events. That wonderful find you shall find. That wonderful find is far greater than all of the vast material wealth of this world combined. Far greater. Those who have found him have found the pot of gold, at the end of the rainbow promise of God's promise. Our wealth tonight is not in our pocket. It's not in the bank, but it's in the one who indwells our hearts. That's where it is. Now this is a worthy, and I'd say tonight this is worthy of a Christmas shout. We have Christmas songs. We have Christmas plays. We have Christmas sermons. Why not just have a Christmas shout? It's worthy of it. Jesus forfeited the riches at the Father's right hand and assumed poverty that you and I might receive the wealth that comes through salvation. The Bible says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become or be made rich. Our earthly material riches, if they're not worn out, if they're not lost, at some point of time they'll pass into the hands of someone else. We'll give them away. We'll give them away. But the, now coming back here to this thought, the shepherds, they found him, and they found him, and pay attention to this. They found him, the shepherds would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now that's not without significance. Swaddling clothes, historically, contextually, biblically, were strips of fabric many times used to wrap infants to keep them warm. Also, swaddling clothes, we're told, was used to wrap lambs. They were cleaned and groomed for sacrifice. Swaddling clothes. So, now, Jesus, we know, was born to die. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And now, the shepherds, being shepherds, and by the way, the context of this, as far as the time was concerned, Israel was still in the mood, in the mode, and sacrifices, well, you had the temple, and sacrifices were known by Jewish minds, so the shepherds would have known the only stable in Jerusalem where the lambs were prepared for sacrifice. So it's not without significance that God appeared to shepherds. They would have known that humble class of people, when God came to this world wrapped in humanity, the message was not given to the kings, to the mighty potentates. It was not given to the politicians. It was not given to the lofty class of people. It was delivered to shepherds. To shepherds. We're talking about the Lamb being born, aren't we? The Lamb of God. We're talking about the one that was the topic of a question that was asked hundreds and hundreds of years ago before this event. Where's the Lamb that Isaac asked? And then Abraham's response, God will provide himself a lamb. So the shepherds, they knew about lambs, and the shepherds knew where to go. Well, I'm going to say two things, and the message will be done. The most wonderful time of the year. This is a two-point sermon. Number one, if you like, take notes. The first reason, this is the most wonderful time of the year because of who was found. Now you're going to think this is a little strange, my second point, but I'll explain it when I get there. This is the most wonderful time of the year not only because of who was found, but because of who was not found. because of who was not found. Most wonderful time of the year because of who was found. You shall find. When they found him, they found the eternal Son of God. They found God manifest in flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is co-eternal. The Word was with God. The Word is coexisting. And the Word was God. The Word is co-equal. The Word is Christ. That's who they found. The shepherds found, catch this point, the shepherds found the shepherd. The shepherds found the shepherd of Israel. The shepherds found the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Psalms 22, 23, and 24. The shepherds found both the shepherd and the lamb. They found both the shepherd and the lamb. They found the good shepherd. They found the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, John 1, 29. Who did they find? They found the central person of prophecy. They found the antitype of all types. They found the divine creator. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. John 1, 10. They found the seed of the woman who had triumphed over the devil. They found the author of peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. They found the one prophesied to die, but also prophesied to be risen and prophesied to be ascended. They found the king who will sit one day on the throne of his father David, the coming king, the Lord Jesus, who's prophet, priest, and king, but the king will reign. He will be coronated on David's throne, and the hallelujah chorus of all times will be sung from joyful, redeemed hearts. Imagine the chorus, the hallelujah chorus being sung for 1,000 years. He shall reign forever and ever and ever. That's who they found. Oh, yes. They found a baby. The very God, the very man. They saw a baby held in the virgin's arms, but they saw God himself. There's coming a time that the one they found, as I just said, will reign. The lion will lie down with the lamb. There will be peace upon this earth. Sword will be beaten in plowshares. Imagine a world without a military budget. Could you imagine that? And I really like this. I like it more every day, the older I get. I really love this one particular verse. You know what this one verse says pertaining to millennial life? It says, an inhabitant shall not say, I'm sick. Don't you love that? I'm preaching here tonight as a person about half sick right now as I preach. In fact, I'd appreciate your folks' prayer if you don't mind. If you think about it, pray for old preacher Chuck. I've got some breathing issues that's kind of developed. You know, asthma, I believe a little bit of that, and wheezing. Any of y'all, I'm what you call a holy wheezer now. But, I'm not saying that for you to feel sorry. I'm saying that to identify with you folks. I'm glad that there's a verse that says the sick will not say I'm sick. In fact, they won't be sick to start with. Now, let me read this. I'm not through yet. It says that people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. That's Isaiah 33, verse number 24. I love that part about the millennium, don't you? No one will get sick. No headaches. No cancer. No malignancy. No wheezing. No limping. I mean, we're going to have the time of our life. And I'll tell you something, though. We're too locked into planet Earth and humanity to really appreciate what heaven is going to be like. They found the one that Paul said made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That's who they found. They found the prophet. They found the priest. They found the coming king. That's who they found. They found God manifested in flesh. It's a most wonderful time of the year because of who the shepherds found. Now, my second point. This is the most wonderful time of the year because of who was not found. Now, I'll explain that. The shepherds found him. That's what we're talking about here. The shepherds found him, but the women, 33 and a half years later, didn't find him. When he went to the tomb, they didn't find him. The shepherds found him, but the women didn't find him. And I want to say tonight, this is the most wonderful time of the year because the shepherds found him and the women didn't find him. And here's the point. Both the finding and the not finding are equally as great. Equally as great. The angel, the holy heralds of glory, announced he's here. And if you remember, the angel at the tomb said, he's not here. So the angels were monitoring from day one all the way till Christ ascended back to glory. The angels had their eyes on Jesus. He was not found in the tomb. Luke 24, verse number 3, they entered in, found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now here's my point. The women, by not finding him, found proof that he was God. They, by not finding him, found proof of his deity. They, by not finding him, confirmed the shepherds truly did find God in the manger. Does that sink in? They, by not finding him, found that the shepherds really found God in the manger. I had to repeat that one. They, by not finding him, found that our sin debt is fully paid. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, on account of our justification. The shepherds were told to fear not, because of the tidings of great joy, because Christ was born. And the women were told to fear not, because Christ was risen. He's not here, for he's risen. As he saith, come see the place where the Lord laid. The shepherds found him in a cradle, but the women didn't find him in the tomb. If the shepherds, now, put this down. Etch this truth down in your mind. Old piece of paper probably wouldn't hurt. I make no apologies for telling church people. It doesn't hurt to take notes sometimes. It's not anti-God or sacrilegious to bring a pen to church and a piece of paper and to take notes, because most of us will forget if we don't jot things down. All right, here's the point I want to make here. If the shepherds had not found him, the Bible would not be the Bible. If the women would have found him, he would not have been God. If the shepherds had not found him, we wouldn't have the Bible. The Bible wouldn't be the Bible. And if the women found him, he wouldn't be God. He'd be just a man laying there in the grave. All hope for all humanity would be banished forever. This is the most wonderful time of the year because the shepherds found Christ in the manger, And the women didn't find Christ in the tomb. And I'm closing tonight with this thought. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And Merry Easter. I'm saying Merry Christmas and Happy Easter. We probably need to sing tonight. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, and up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. Living, He loved me, dying, He saved me, buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. Thank God the shepherds found Him, and thank God the women didn't find Him. I'll tell you, it's Wednesday night, and I know what time of the year it is, but I'm about ready to have a shout and hoop here this evening. I'm kind of thrilled this evening about that truth, and I hope you are. Father, thank You tonight for this time we've had in the Bible, and I pray that it'll sink deep in our hearts, and we'll go out of here this evening more joyful about who the shepherds found and who the women did not find more than ever. Blessed now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.